Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. As we have seen so far in our investigation to the parables of Allah in the Quran, that Allah, Jibreel, Muhammad, and Muslim scholars do not have a clue what actually the word parable means. Why? Because Allah throughout the Quran mentioned such word in many of the verses of the Quran, as we have seen over 20 times, and in reality, none of them were parables. Today, we will conclude our study to the last four locations in the Quran where we read the word parable. The first one I'd like to share with you is what is written in Quran chapter 29 and verse 41. Don't forget now that Quran chapter 29 is named the spider. And why Allah named Quran chapter 29 by the name the spider is very simple, because of verse 41. And here is what Allah said. The parable of those who took friends without Allah is like the ankabut. The word ankabut is Aramaic language, which means spider. So once again, we read the verse. The parable of those who took friends without Allah is like the spider that took a house. And surely the frailest of all the houses is the house of the spider, if they were knowing. Wow. This is very important information we need to learn about the spider. The house of the spider is so weak. There's no power or refuge in such a house. And Allah here is telling us, as interpreted by the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari, the parable of those who took friends without Allah is like the spider, to mean those who took gods or idols without Allah seeking their help or their victory, it will not benefit them, especially when they need it in times of weakness, because they will be to them like the house of the spider in its weakness. So like that, the polytheists, when the command of Allah fell on them, when Allah's anger came on them and their friends, whom they took without Allah by serving such gods. Al-Tabari said that parable was given by Allah to those who serve others is like the parable of the house of the spider. Once again, Qatada repeat the same idea by saying this is a parable given by Allah to the polytheists, those who worship other gods, those who call on other gods rather than Allah. They are like the house of the spider, and it is the weakest of the houses which will not benefit them. Once again, Al-Tabari assured his readers that the house of the spider is the weakest of all the houses. And he is telling the Muslim believers that all those people who worship all the other gods do not know that what they're doing, it's like taking the house of the spider, and they are ignorant of that. They will not be helped by these idols they worship, and they will not draw them near to Allah. This is the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari. What Al-Tabari did not know, nor most Muslims do not know, that the house of the spider actually is not a weak house. And I do not know how in the world you can come up from that verse that is the case of the people who worship other idols, who partner other idols with Allah. Because not only from the reading of Quran chapter 29 and verse 41, we cannot come up with this understanding, but even from the previous and the following verses. This is more of fabrication than interpretation. But here is the most important thing I'd like to share with you about the house of the spider. Muhammad claims that the spider web is a frail house. This is an error. It is on record that the spider web is strong enough to capture hummingbirds and will hold them long enough for the spider to kill and eat them. This comes to us from The World of Nature, Character Sketches, Volume 2, page 48. And believe it or not, in my own personal experience, whenever we have storms or hurricanes in Florida, The first thing we can see, still standing, not a home built by an engineer, but the spider's home, which are all over, still standing, after the 140, 150 miles an hour wind. I've seen that by my own eyes so many times. So obviously, Allah, Jibreel, and Muhammad, and Muslim scholars do not know the truth about the spider web. It is much stronger than Muslim can imagine. Let's move on to our next parable in the Quran, in Quran chapter 39 and verse 29. For there we read, Allah gives the parable of a man who is owned by partners who are disputing among themselves, and of a man devoted wholly to one man. Will they be equal parables? The praise be to Allah, yet most of them do not know. What we're talking about here, we're talking about slavery in Islam. Allah is talking to us about two different men. One was owned by two masters, and the other one, which was submitted to one man. Are they equal? Once again, I do not see a parable in such verse. Muhammad is rambling with words, putting in poetry with great rhyme, but it does not have a message from which we can say, here is a parable. And what's so amazing is great Muslim scholar Al-Tabri and others will tell you, oh, that first man is the one who worshiped many gods, but the other man who only worship Allah and he is faithful in his belief in Allah. What does this have to do with that? The Quran is not talking about worshiping, it's talking about slave owned by two masters, and the two masters are trying to get as much out of the slave, depend on how much they own of the slave. But the other guy, I do not see but a man who is owned by one man. This is not how worship is. But what can you do? When Muslim scholars read a verse in the Quran does not have any parable in it and does not have a message in it, and they create message as they always do for majority of the verses of the Quran. And who's going to argue with Al-Tabari? Who's going to argue with Ibn Kathir or any of these scholars except the one who will use his brain? But here is the fact, my dear friend. Muslims do not use their brain. Muslims do not ask questions. They will believe the verse without even understanding anything about the verse. And whatever the Muslim scholars tell them, that verse means this or that, that's what they believe. What is so amazing, when Muslim scholars disagree about what the verse actually means, Muslims still believe in all the different opinions about the verse. Or if they're really smart, they just pick up one and they say, oh, we like that interpretation and that's what we believe. What is more important than anything, that verse, Quran chapter 39 and verse 29, is not a parable. There is no parable in it. Once again, my dear Muslim friends, read the verse and you can tell me where is the parable. We'll move on to our next parable, which comes to us from Quran chapter 43 and verse 17. Allah said, and when one of them is given the good news by a parable that the merciful gave, his face becomes blackened and he is grieved. That's it. That is the verse. Well, let's read the context of the verse. Perhaps we can have a better understanding. And the context is actually we have to read the entire chapter from verse 1 to verse 17. And by the way, by reading that chapter, you found how empty the word of Allah in the Quran are. In verse 1, HM, these are two letters without any meaning. And then Allah said, I swear by the clear book. Allah is swearing by his Quran. In verse 3, surely we have made it in Arabic Quran. Perhaps you may understand. I'm sorry, the Quran is not an Arabic book. As we have seen, there are hundreds of words in the Quran are non-Arabic words. And perhaps you may understand. Allah, really believe that maybe people understand it? What a clear book, where we know for sure that the majority of the verses of the Quran cannot be understood by even the scholars of Islam. In verse 4, and surely it is in the mother of the book with us. The entire Quran is in another book with Allah. Yes, it is a guarded board. Tell this to the Muslims who do not understand the doctrine of abrogation. That's how Allah changed his mind about many of the commands and the verses of the Quran. And then Allah said, is high wise. Who is high wise? That is the Quran itself. It is in an honorable position with Allah. In verse 5, shall we withhold the reminder from you mercifully that you were an extravagant people? Verse 6, and how many prophets did we send to the ancients? 7, and there never came a prophet to them except they were scoffing at him. I'm sorry, nobody scoffed at Moses, and nobody scoffed on David, and nobody scoffed on Isa. So I'm sorry, the Quran is loaded with many prophets which no one scoffed at. Muhammad just lied. Why? Because people scoffed at him, and he thought, well, I'm like everybody else. That's when he invented that all the prophets before him were scoffed at.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicki@thestraightway.org. That's Vicki spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
We continue in verse 8. So we destroyed those who were stronger than them by annihilation. And the example of the ancients has gone. Verse 9. And if you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will surely say, surely the deer, the knower, created them. Excuse me. There's plenty of people throughout human life never believed that God created the universe. So how can you talk about them as bad people at the same time? They all know for sure that Allah is the creator of all things. That verse does not make any sense at all. Verse 10, who has made the earth flat for you? Excuse me. That is dumb for dummers, because the earth is not flat. And you cannot flatten it by claiming it to be flat. And he has made ways for you in it. No, there is no ways on the earth for people to walk. Actually, man made these ways. Trails, roads, and highways, and bridges are made by man, not by Allah. Perhaps you may be guided. No, man can guide himself with GPS, not with some road made by Allah in the Quran. In verse 11, and who sent down measured water from the heaven, so we raised a dead country to life by it. Likewise, you will be brought forth. Rain coming down from heaven does not raise dead countries, because countries or land are not dead without the rain, because earth does not die, even though there is lots of drought. In verse 12, and who has created all the pairs? According to Muslim scholar, everything Allah created is a male and a female. That is an error. Some trees pollinate themselves and they don't have male and female trees. A good example, avocado tree, papaya tree, and sugar apple or custard apple. None of these trees have male and female. So when Allah said all, Allah made a mistake. It is not all, Allah. We continue. And he made for you the ships and the livestock what you ride on. Once again, Allah did not make any ships. Man made ships. In verse 13, we read, to set on their backs. What Allah is talking about here? Allah is talking about the backs of the animals which people ride, or the back of the ship which Allah made for man to use to travel in water. I'm sorry. We don't sit on the top of aeroplane like animals, but inside them. And it is faster than any camel or any ship. Then remember the grace of your Lord as you sit on it. No, I don't remember the grace of Allah when I sit on the back of the ship or the back of the camel. I will remember Boeing, America, Delta, and Southwest Airlines. Allah ended verse 13 by saying, "Praise be to him who has made these subservient to us, and we were not able to do it." No, Muhammad, once again, you're dead wrong. We can fly in airplane much faster, much more comfortable than sitting on the camel back. In verse 14, we read, "And surely to your Lord we will return." What Lord? Allah? No, I will never return to Allah. I will never see Allah. I will return to my Lord, Jesus Christ, which Muslims obviously do not believe in to be Lord. In verse 15, "And they made to him part of his servants." Surely the human is an obvious infidel. What Allah is talking about here in verse 15? Allah is telling us, as Al-Tabari stated, that the polytheists made to Allah a portion of his creation. That is when they said that angels are the daughters of Allah, and they gave these daughters of Allah, the angels, to Allah. Somehow, Al-Tabari and his scholars, which he's quoting, are trying to tell us that Allah created males and females, and the polytheists choose to have the males for themselves, and they prescribe to Allah the females of the angels. In verse 16, we read, "Or has he taken daughters when one of them from what he has created and favored you with the sons?" Oh, Allah only kept for himself the females of the angels, and Allah allows these polytheists to take the male for themselves. And Al-Tabari is saying, why, when you don't want to take the females for yourself, why he gives them to Allah? Now we get to verse 17. "And when one of them is given the good news by a parable that the merciful gave, his face becomes blackened and he is grieved." What in the world Muhammad is talking about? That is, if Allah gave to these men daughters as they want to prescribe the female angels for Allah, when that happened, these people become so upset and their faces is black and they're so sorrowful. Why? It's because Allah in his wisdom is doing that to teach them a good lesson. Don't you dare prescribe to me female angels when in reality you don't like to have female daughters. Where is the parable in Quran chapter 43 and verse 17? There is no parable. I tell you what I learned from that sentence is very simple. Allah is racist. Allah does not like black. And when people hear the bad news, they were described by Allah in the Quran to be with black faces. And that is very sorrowful stage according to the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari. Now let me share with you the last parable in Quran chapter 74 and verse 31. Here is what Allah said, "And we did not make the companions of the fire except angels, and we did not make their number except a sedition for those who became infidels, so that those who have been given the book may become certain, and those who believed will increase in faith, and that those who have been given the book and the believers will not doubt, and so those who have a sickness in their hearts and the infidels will say, 'What does Allah mean in this parable?' Likewise, Allah leads astray whom he wills and guides whom he wills, and no one knows the troops of your Lord except him, and it is but a reminder to humans." What in the world Allah is talking about? The answer is very simple. According to Muslim scholars' interpretation, in the previous verse to verse 31, Allah mentioned those who will be guarding hell. And Allah said that they will be 19. As Allah stated in verse 30, "Over it," that is hell, "are 19. An infidel by the name Abu Jahl told the people of Quraysh, "If there's only 19 men will be guarding the gates of hell, each 10 of you can easily take over them and you can escape hell." This is not just the imagination of the infidels of Muhammadis, but Muhammad himself. Think about it. If we have hell and hell is real, Allah needed 19 angels to guard the gates of hell so no one escaped? I mean, escape to where? Where people do you think will get out of hell too? Maybe they'll go to heaven, yes, but don't worry. Allah also put angels on the gates of heaven. And that's why no one can escape hell to go to heaven. This is just the comedy of Allah and His revelation to Muhammad. This is how ridiculous the Quran is. But in verse 31 of Quran chapter 74, Allah explained to the Muslim believers that the persons who protect hell are not just human. These are actually angels. Yes, we did not make the companion of the fire except angels. So obviously, no man can take over the angels because these angels are so strong. Yes, indeed. So the parable Allah gave here about the 19 guard, it is a parable to make sure that the Christians and the Jews become certain of what is written in their Bible. Because Al-Tabari said, Allah mentioned in the Bible that those who will guard hell are 19 angels. I'm sorry, that is another lie from the bottom of hell. There is not a verse in the Bible stated that somehow God will put 19 angels to guard the gates of hell so no one can escape. Then Al-Tabari also stated that this will cause the Muslim believers to increase in their faith. Man, oh man, now I know I am really believing in Allah and in Muhammad and in Islam, because now I know there are 19 angels sitting there at the gates of hell and no one can escape. What a comedy. But what is more important, that Allah gave that number 19 angels to guard hell, to mislead or to lead astray those whom Allah desire to mislead. And once again, my dear friends, I do not see any parable there. Obviously, Muslims do not know anything about parables as we read it throughout the pages of the Quran. In our next broadcast, I'll be sharing with you some of the parables of our Lord to just help our dear Muslim friends to realize that they do not have a parable in the Quran. And to continue our study of commentaries of the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite You to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.